Attention all Formula One racing fans. Support your favorite F1 racing podcast by donating a cup of coffee today. Our podcast is fueled by your donations, and we rely on your support to keep the engines revving and the content flowing. Don't miss out on the latest updates and analysis from the world of F1. Show your support by visiting our website at buymeacoffee.com/F1racingpodcast and donating now. Every dollar counts and helps us keep the wheels turning towards the finish line. Join us in the race to the top and show your support for your favorite F1 racing podcast. Visit buymeacoffee.com/F1racingpodcast and donate today.
In this week's episode of the F1 Racing Podcast, we relive all the action of the first Grand Prix of the season in Bahrain, where I thought various drivers and one pit crew in particular needed the Heimlich maneuver because they choked. The latest news about Max Verstappen possibly making a move to another team in 2025. We'll cover that news, and we get you ready for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix this weekend at the second fastest circuit on the F1 calendar. This is the American-made F1 Racing Podcast.
Welcome to the F1 Racing Podcast, an American-made podcast with the G-forces to hit your G-spot. And now, the man who still doesn't know what drag reduction systems are, your shockingly decent host, Billy Simpson.
Well, well, welcome back to the F1 Racing Podcast, an American-made podcast with the guts to give it to you straight. I'm your host, Billy Simpson, and I have a fantastic show for you today. They're back. Red Bull's newest creation blew all the competition out of the water in this week's first Grand Prix. Russell, Leclerc, Sainz, and the Kik Sauber team pit crew all choked. Kik Sauber kept Bottas stationary in the pits for over 52 seconds. We talk about the bombshell in the news about Max joining Mercedes in 2025. Yes, Mercedes. Because remember, Hamilton's moving to Ferrari that year. And we get you ready for the first street circuit, second fastest and second longest track of the extended 2024 calendar in Saudi Arabia at the Jeddah Corniche Circuit. But before we jump into this high-flying, action-packed, and many other descriptive hyphenated word pairings, let's take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you a sports enthusiast? Or just like to be entertained with wholesome fucking fun? Well, then check out Us Playing Through on Instagram and YouTube. Go behind the scenes with a hilarious couple that have fallen truly, madly, and deeply in love as they navigate various topics like playing golf, watching Formula One motorsports, and cooking, all from the perspective of a couple just playing through this thing called life. Go to Instagram and YouTube to like, subscribe, and follow Us Playing Through and stay up to date with our latest posts and videos. Link is provided in the episode summary.
Let's hop into the F1 Racing Podcast sports book. Last week, I put down 5 bets. Now, I didn't cover this on the podcast, but before the race, I was looking around and found quite a few bets that I kind of liked. So last week, I went 5 for 5 on my picks, and I earned 15.4% return on my investment. Here were my picks. Now, these were some very, very low risk picks, but hey, like I say, 15.4%, I'll take that all day. Let's see, the first one I had was a driver head-to-head, Albon versus Sargeant during the race here. That was a minus 800. made that bet. Alonso head-to-head with Stroll, picked Alonso. Verstappen head-to-head with Perez, picked Verstappen. Verstappen for a top two finish. That was a minus 700. And then Red Bull as a team, both drivers to finish in the top six. So we went 5 for 5. Again, those are low-risk bets. But, you know, they still pay out. You know, so this week I put down what I'm calling some more low-risk bets. Red Bull drivers to finish in the top six. And another bet for them to finish in the top 10. And then the last bet I put down thus far is for Verstappen to win at minus 400. And that one has since moved to minus 500. That's still a pretty good payout there. I'll put down, you know, I'm probably going to put down a couple more bets before the race once I've had some time to look them over. But, you know, there's always a risk in betting. But if you're making low-risk bets with smaller payouts, you can create a strategy that outperforms the stock market. Now go win big.
Here are the top 10 drivers championship standings. P1, Verstappen with 26 points. P2, Perez with 18 points. P3, Sainz with 15 points. P4, Leclerc with 12 points. P5, Russell with 10 points. P6, Norris with 8 points. P7, Hamilton with 6 points. P8, Piastre with 4 points. P9, Alonso with 2 points. And P10, Stroll with 1 point.
The Fully Involved
Grand Prix Review.
All right. Let's talk about Bahrain 2024, the much anticipated first race of the longest scheduled F1 calendar ever. Sally, how about those track details?
Round 1, the Formula One Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix 2024, takes place at the Bahrain International Circuit. The first Grand Prix was hosted here in 2004. The circuit length is 3.4 miles. The total race distance is 191.5 miles in 57 laps. This is a clockwise circuit with 15 corners and 3 DRS detection zones. The current lap record is held by Pedro de la Rosa in 2005 with a 1 minute 31.447 seconds lap time.
In the pre-race interviews, Fernando said he may not race anymore. Max contradicted himself. Lewis didn't have much to say about George's leadership capabilities. Sainz says he has no idea what his future looks like in 2025. Lando was jet-lagged and looked like a deer in the headlights, and Albon says that there won't be much change in the team standings this year. I may be overly excited because the season is upon us, but these interviews were enjoyable. The questions from the media were not softballs, and the answers were genuine. For the most part. And Max the Machine only wants to race, and he does not have a setting for empathy. So watch out in 2024. He may not lose a race this year. Let's take a lap around the track with Martin Brundle, courtesy of F1 TV broadcast and Sky Sports.
So, Martin Brundle, take us through this lap.
You're allowed to open your rear wing, DRS. Of course, you don't need to be within 1 second of the car in front. During qualifying, there are 3 of those zones, and worth best part of a second a lap if you get that wing open, as they will do. It's critical through then it's open again then after turn 4. Uphill braking zone here, you can brake quite late. Then you'll go through the crosswind. The car will wander to the outside. You must bring it back in though and stay within the track limits during qualifying. You can see he was struggling trying to control the back of the car out of 4. But we're down into the hairpin of turn 8 already. Late turning. Straighten the car as soon as you can. You'll get better traction. And now a blind, bumpy crest. Turn, brake, downshift, pick up the throttle. You get a little bit of wheel spin. Stay to the right-hand side because it's a left-hander at the end. You want to open up the angle of that corner. And through he goes. It's a long left. followed by 12 and 13, which connect up. This is the end of the second sector here. And, of course, he's fastest at the moment, being the first man through it. Now, he's really got one big decision to make. The last two corners are won, effectively. But he's got to get the braking point right. Not get too greedy, but not tighten the car up too much either. Stay within the limits. The line comes up pretty quickly, and Sainz then clears that for a 31-2, not especially fast.
The first three practice sessions of the year proved deceitful for most teams once qualifying arrived. For other teams, the brutal reality of a mediocre car will haunt their laps around the circuit for the foreseeable future. Three practice sessions failed to create a realistic expectation of qualifying and the race. In FP1, Ricciardo had the fastest lap. In FP2, Hamilton took the honors. In FP3, Sainz took the top spot. But once the much-anticipated first quali session of 2024 arrived, Verstappen takes pole. Leclerc may have had a faster Q2 than the time Verstappen qualified with for pole, but Leclerc had to settle for P2 in the front row. In the race itself, Red Bull's Max Verstappen dominates qualifying and the race. Perez had a lackluster start to the season. In this first race, he started P5, and he finished on. But he did finish on the podium in P2. Next week's race in Saudi Arabia is a street circuit, Checo's favorite. He won there last year, but that may have been because Max had mechanical failure, and that was in Q2 when he had that failure. He basically started 15th, finished P2. Nonetheless. Here is the winner's radio after the first race of 2024 in Bahrain.
Really, really professional drive, Max. Can't ask for more than that. Great start to the year. Nice one.
That was simply lovely. What a great race. Unbelievable balance as well. Yeah, great start to the year, guys. Really, really good. 1-2 as well, so absolutely fantastic.
Well done, Max. As you say, 1-2 finish, fastest lap, pole position, clean sweep. So, brilliant start to the year. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, couldn't have asked for more, really. Great start. Thank you.
That soundbite was provided from the F1 TV broadcast of the race. The winning tire strategy for Red Bull, it was a two-stopper, soft, hard, soft. And again, that's if you're driving a Red Bull car that has proven to take better care of its tires. The majority of other teams employed the soft, hard, hard tire strategy, finishing 25 seconds behind their dominant counterparts at Red Bull. Ferrari. Leclerc started in P2, despite having a faster lap time in Q2 than the pole sitter for the race, but that's why they have Q3. He reports problem with his brakes to his engineers early on in the race, but I think he just needed a Heimlich maneuver from all that choking as Russell passes him early, and his teammate, who started P4, makes his way past Leclerc. Sainz takes the last podium position, and the team secures P3 and P4. Sainz also secures driver of the day. Let's move on to Mercedes. Russell manages to take P2 in the opening laps, but he ran his car too hard, overheating it. Mercedes was reporting engine cooling battery problems, and Hamilton complained about how his seat was broken. Lewis took this information and applied it to his driving strategy, whereas gorgeous George Russell took it with a grain of salt and lost all progress he worked so hard to achieve. Russell and Hamilton finished the race P5 and P7, respectively. McLaren. Both McLaren drivers make it to Q3 and start the race P7 and P8 with Norris in front, but their car will need some upgrades if they're going to rise to the level they did in the last half of 2023. Norris moves up two spots, finishing P6, but Piastri stays where he began in P8. Points are points, and their car is further along this year than it was last year, so that's something to look forward to. Aston Martin. Now, the expectations were high for Aston Martin, but they didn't deliver on the hype this year. The performance that Stroll can get out of his car compared to Alonso is disparaging. Alonso got the most out of his car by finishing P9 after starting P6, and his teammate moved up two spots throughout the duration of the race, taking the last points position. So Alonso lost places, Stroll gained places, but the points were lackluster. Let's talk about Kick Sauber. Bottas, he just couldn't make it happen once again on race day. He clipped his wing on the first lap on Hülkenberg's car and then had a massive malfunction with a cross-threaded wheel nut left him playing pocket pool in the pits for around 52 seconds. Both team drivers fail to make it past Q1, but Zhou does manage to move up six spots in the race, finishing P11, just outside the points. Haas, the team formerly managed by Gunther, came out of the gates with some steam for 2024. K-Mag makes it out of Q1, but just barely. But Hülkenberg steals the show with a P10 start. Hülkenberg's great time in qualifying didn't equal points for the first race, and his teammate actually finished in a better position in P12, but they still have a lot of work on reliability throughout the course of the season, so to keep that car up to snuff during a race and keep the reliability up. Let's talk about VCARB, who's also known as Visa Cash App Red Bull Team. There was a driver vendetta at Visa Cash App Red Bull Team, also known as VCARB, when team orders from the cruel race engineers at VCARB demanded Tsunoda swap positions with Ricciardo. This didn't please Tsunoda in the slightest.
You keep driver swap.
I'm kidding with that.
You see, Tsunoda was a half a second behind K-Mag at this point, and Ricciardo was 0.7 seconds behind Tsunoda. Tsunoda had no intention of ceding his position to his teammate. At this point, Ricciardo has just put on soft tires, whilst Tsunoda was on hard tires. So Tsunoda finally swapped positions with him. But Tsunoda expressed his extreme displeasure with the situation. You see, after all the dilly-dallying around, K-Mag managed to create some space between himself and the Red Bull team. In the end, Ricciardo never manages to get past K-Mag because of all the pussyfooting around. VCARB takes P13 and P14. After the race, on the cooldown lap, Tsunoda breaks late, dive bombs Ricciardo on a corner. Tsunoda runs deep and Ricciardo pulls back ahead. Tsunoda then accelerates and nearly sideswipes Ricciardo, coming within inches of making contact. Ricciardo said he's going to have a talk to Helmut Marko about this.
What the fuck? I'll save it. It's a fucking helmet. So go on.
No worries, that's okay.
Next up, Williams. The Williams team didn't come out punching like everyone expected them to. Sargeant fails to make it out of Q1, but does put up a better time than both Alpine drivers. Albon couldn't quite make the cut for Q3 and started P13 on the grid. Albon finishes P15, and Sargeant dead last. Alpine is struggling, and it shows. Neither driver can best Sargeant in Q1 and finish with dead last times in P19 and P20. Both drivers only managed to move up a couple of positions throughout the race. Alcon and Gasly finished P17 and P18 respectively. After the race, in an article on Formula1.com, it was announced that Harman and De Beer, technical directors for Alpine, would leave the team after their newest model, a 524 car, fell flat in qualifying and race day in the first race of 2024. The announcement comes in the wake of a slew of high-level changes in 2023, with team principal Otmar Szafrazar Sporting Director Alan Permain, Chief Technical Officer Pat Fry, and CEO Laurent Rossi all departing, with Bruno Famine confirmed as full-time team principal earlier this year. Look, the first race in at the Bahrain Grand Prix was very boring this year. You know, Red Bull, they dominated the field by 25 seconds. Various drivers made mistakes, which made for the only great passing action. And the Kick Sauber pit crew blew it. Sure, there were storylines, but there was nothing to make you jump out of your seat and yell Yahooey about it. Let's hope the next race in Saudi Arabia will light our F1 racing pants fires.
Here are the points finishers for the Bahrain Grand Prix 2024. P1, Verstappen. P2, Perez. P3, Sainz. P4, Leclerc. P5, Russell. P6, Norris. P7, Hamilton. P8, Piastri. P9, Alonso. P10, Stroll.
Let's talk about the news. The epic news of the week surrounds Max Verstappen and the possibility of him moving to Mercedes in 2025. This all stems around the great Horner debacle and the female employee he's been having lewd relationships with. The female employee has thus been suspended and Horner exonerated. Ford is still up in arms about the fiasco and has some hard decisions to make. Most recently, though, pictures of Jos Verstappen, Max's dad, were captured as he and Horner were having a heated discussion. According to therace.com, Jos was quoted saying, "The team is in danger of being torn apart. It can't go on this way, on the way it is." Let me reread that. "The team is in danger of being torn apart. It can't go on the way it is. It will explode." This message was aimed directly at the Red Bull team principal, Christian Horner. Later, pictures of Jos talking with Toto Wolff of Mercedes, emerged, and then the rumors started to swirl. Toto, when asked, is acting all nonchalant, saying, "Anything can happen." Here's my take. This is the exact reason that teams and drivers find it so hard to win multiple championships and create a dynasty. All the politics and the egos get in the way. It's rumored that Jos was dating the female who Horner was entangled with in all this debacle, and that's the bottom line for all of this. It sounds like they're just pissing on each other's shoes and letting it all slip away.
Here are the top 10 drivers' championship standings. P1. Verstappen with 26 points. P2. Perez with 18 points. P3. Sainz with 15 points. P4. Leclerc with 12 points. P5. Russell with 10 points. P6. Norris with 8 points. P7. Hamilton with 6 points. P8. Piastri with 4 points. P9. Alonso with 2 points. And P10. Stroll with 1 point.
Race this weekend in Saudi Arabia at the Jeddah Corner Circuit. Sally, how about those track details?
Round 2, the Formula 1 STC Saudi Arabian Grand Prix 2024, takes place at the Jeddah Corner Circuit. The first Grand Prix was hosted here in 2021. The circuit length is 3.8 miles. The total race distance is 191.7 miles and 50 laps. This is a counterclockwise circuit with 27 corners and 3 DRS detection zones. The current lap record is held by Lewis Hamilton in 2021 with a 1 minute 30.734 seconds lap time.
the Jeddah Corner Circuit is a street circuit, the second fastest track after Monza and the second longest track with the most corners of any F1 track. Overtaking is tricky with the best bet at turn one. Pirelli has chosen the mid-range compounds, C2, C3, and C4, the softest of the three compounds. C4 is the softest of the three. Last year, Verstappen's car went kaput in Q2, so he started the race P15. His teammate, Perez, starts on pole and stays there for the win. Verstappen finishes P2. The top four drivers employed a one-stop pit strategy, started on the medium tires and finished on the hards.
Here are the points finishers for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix 2023. P1, Perez. P2, Verstappen. P3, Alonso. P4, Russell. P5, Hamilton. P6, Sainz. P7, Leclerc. P8, Ocon. P9, Gasly. P10, Magnussen.
In conclusion, the race in Bahrain this year, the first race of the season, was pretty lackluster. Didn't really give you much to jump out of your seats for. Quite a few drivers choked, including a pit crew team for Kick Sauber. Mercedes' car was having reliability issues, overheating. Hamilton took that in advisement. Russell just went balls to the wall and burnt his car up, lost a few positions, and didn't do that great. I went 5-for-5 on my picks last week. Not bragging or anything. It was a small win, 15.4% return. Max was rumored to be going to Mercedes in 2025, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Horner was exonerated. The female employee was suspended, and she may or may not have been dating Jos Verstappen, and that's why Jos is getting all pissed off at Horner. And even talking possibly to Mercedes, spreading those rumors. And he wants Horner gone. And I'm sure he's getting Ford on his side. And stay tuned for all of that drama. We've got the second race for Saudi Arabia coming up this week. And it should be a good saucy one. Hopefully, Perez is really going to show a challenge to Verstappen. It's a street circuit. And Checo loves the street circuits. He won here last year, but that was because Verstappen had mechanical failure in Q2. He started the race P15, did Verstappen, and he ended up finishing P2 right behind Perez. So Max can make his way through that track despite it being a very tough-to-pass track. Again, the best way to get by someone is going to be on turn one. Looks like it was a one-stopper last year. And it's probably going to be a one-stopper again. Depending on where you start on the grid, you might start on the medium or the hards, but you're going to switch to either the medium or the hards. So look for that as the one-stopper and hope you enjoy the race as much as I will this weekend.
Attention all F1 Racing Podcast fans. Do you love the thrill of high-speed races and the excitement of watching your favorite drivers compete for the championship title? If so, you won't want to miss our F1 Racing podcast. But we need your help to keep our podcast running and bring you the latest updates and analysis from the world of F1. We rely on your donations to cover production costs and bring you the best content possible. Visit www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast and donate today. Every minute counts in the fast-paced world of motorsports, and we need your support today to keep our podcast on track. Visit www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast. Your donation will help us keep the engines revving and ensure that we can continue to provide you with the insider scoop on all the latest news and race highlights. The website is www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast. So don't wait, donate now to help us keep our podcast going strong at www.buymeacoffee.com/F1Racing Podcast. Every dollar counts and helps us keep the wheels turning. Join us in the race towards the finish line and show your support for your favorite F1 racing podcast at buymecoffee.com/F1racingpodcast.
Does it for today's F1 Racing Podcast. I'd like to thank my fans in Costa Mesa, California, Norristown, Pennsylvania, Houston, Texas, and many more for having the courage to listen to this amazingly informative and entertaining podcast. And to everyone else listening to this, yes, that means you. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, share it with all your friends and enemies. Follow me on Facebook, X, the Gram, TikTok, and YouTube at F1 Racing Podcast. And give me a shiny review on Apple, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from, iOS. Till next time, be good or be good at being bad, whichever you do better.
You've been listening to the F1 Racing Podcast. Tune in next time to see what Billy will say next. And for God's sake, buy him a cup of coffee at our website. The website is buymeacoffee.com/F1racingpodcast.
Mon leadership, ma façon de faire, c'est de vraiment de les produire.